Okay, we are going to begin let's take up the 13th chapter again, but this time we look at what do we do with them. This is something that we need to bear in mind, and you will read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in due time, the problem with that which comes out differently. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Now, Father, we pray that you will help us to understand your word. We pray that you will help us to appreciate the need to remain faithful and true to your word. We pray for wisdom, for discernment, to understand and to apply the truth that we read. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now this is important for us. Now we will see some of the changes later on as you try to apply this text in the light of the New Testament. Okay? Now, you have to bear in mind this is Israel. Right? Now, some of the things that they can do, we cannot. Right? So there are two aspects of that. One, there's a spiritual aspect. Right? So there is the spiritual aspect that you need to look at, and then there is the judicial aspect. Now, they are not the same. We don't have the judicial aspect today. So the question is, what do we do? Right? Well, let's take a look at the that aspect over here. So this is a test. 13, right? And verse 3. Whether you love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul. If we love the Lord God like the way we should, would we even consider moving away from the truth that is there? Obviously not. Right? So this is a real test. Now, you shall walk unto the Lord, fear him, keep his commandments. Okay, now this part is a bit difficult. Now, this is the judicial aspect. That prophet or that dreamer of dreams, all right, now this is a part that we cannot apply. Right? You can't put people to death today. Right? So, in America, in a little place called Salem, and these people have been never stopped talking about it, a place called Salem, witch hunt of Salem. So this became a, this is why the word witch hunt is used so much in English vocabulary today. This is the witch hunt. So, they began to create all sorts of things. This is very, very much in Africa, in the Calabar region. If you are innocent, the hot oil will not burn you. Salem, if you are innocent, the water will not drown you. Now, if you don't drown, all the more confirms you're a witch. If you drown, there you are. God didn't protect you. Either way, you lose. So this became a problem. This is why in the days of, among the Presbyterians, they always argue for a separation of state and church. We don't want the state to help the church because the state can be in serious difficulty. They will use the church, or the church will use the state. Spanish Inquisition, same. So all kinds of things went wrong when the church or the state takes over. Right? So you must understand this is provision for it. So in Salem, anybody who is old, lady mostly, two, warts on the face. 3, long hair. 4, live alone. 5, people complain against you. 6, cows die. Chickens don't hatch. Crops fail. There must be a witch. So then they go on a witch hunt. And I think that is really, really, really sad to see. But that is something that is so very real, unfortunately. It was a documentary that I saw many, many years ago, and that really, really affected me quite a bit. It was a story about this kind of situation, witch hunting. And it was a very difficult time for everybody. Then came a person, and the person said to the boy, "You are ordained by God to fight against these people. What must you do?" And he quoted Deuteronomy 13. "You must put them to death because you have been ordained for that." He said, "No." And his brain kept on telling him, "You should be the one, you should be the one, and you're the one." And then he said, "Look, I show you." Then he drove the boy out to the fields, and the cows died. The cows were dying. Right? And then you watch. Barns burned. Power, the cows die, the crops fail, people's houses burn. If you don't stop this, a whole country will be affected. So he took it upon himself. So convinced he was that he must do something about it. He took a knife and he slew them. And he was arrested. Of course. So they ask him, "Why you do it?" He says, "Well, there was a man who told me." "Where is that man?" "He was not there." "Well, what did you see?" He says, I will show you. I will show you the places where the cows died, the barn burned. He says, the chickens were normal. Everything was normal. It was all in his mind. He saw things differently. You see, this is where you have to watch out very carefully. In Deuteronomy 13, this was in the early days when Moses was alive, and you can understand the situation. The danger was grave. So watch the spiritual and the judicial part. It's a very difficult mix. Spanish Inquisition. Wow, that was the, till today, people speak about this. Right? This was the counter-revolution. And they were going to arrest all who were Christians. They are people who, why have you gone against the church? And for the slightest reason, they confiscate whatever they can. So the church became very rich. You're a Christian, you have denied the faith, you have done this against the church, you, all kinds of trumped up charges, right? You spat on the cross of Jesus. Huh? Really? You burned the Bible, right? You stepped on the Bible, all kinds of things, trumped up charges. Okay, if you don't tell, put you torture. This is now it gets waterboarding. In the early days, if you want to grow taller, you see them, they will stretch you. And sometimes the spine snaps, you die. So tortures began to be invented. They became more and more and more and more cruel. This part of the church history of the Roman Catholic Church, they would rather not dwell on it. But it's recorded. So you have to be very careful. So this whole idea, the Jesuits were the worst. These were the ones who were, the black robes. Everybody feared them. They answered to nobody except the Pope. Sometimes they call the superior of the Jesuit, they call him the Black Pope. That is the actual Pope, and that is the other one. This one was so powerful that the Roman Catholic Pope had to ban it for a while. It didn't exist. It was really very dreaded. So this was the Jesuit group, and this became a very, very powerful group. These were the people who were sent out. These were the people behind the shoguns. These were the people who were, they picked the smartest of the lot. Believe me, these guys are very, very smart. High IQ. But these are also people who can do crazy things. And they were always the power behind thrones. They control kings, magistrates, and all that. So this became a very, very sad part of church history. See, so the provision for this must be understood carefully. Okay? Provision is more historical, contextual. Right? The danger is to apply it literally. Once you apply it literally, it can go off. And so the danger is for fundamentalist groups to do this. And this becomes a danger. Right? So not so long, 2 weeks ago, there was a fundamentalist church was under Heart and Soul BBC program. They do it on Monday. So over the weekend, they will interview somebody and then broadcast it the following day. And there was this lady who was expelled from the church. Her grandfather was the founder of the Baptist church. And to this family church, 70 members. Everyone in the world is going to go to hell except them. And this was how they were brought up, in that kind of understanding. So they are very, very dead set against all the sins that are in America especially. And so they will actually preach against them. But in America, you can do that. In Singapore, you'll probably be arrested. Right? So this is the kind of a thing that we actually have to be careful of. So when you read Deuteronomy 13, best to read it very carefully in the light of a contextual, historical context. Otherwise, it's going to be difficult. Right? So what is that? There is the death penalty, shall be put to death. Okay? And this is important. So entice you. So this idea of the death penalty has to be understood. Right? So this is something that you need to look at, the distinction between the spiritual aspect and the judicial aspect. The judicial aspect does not exist for us. It does not exist even for Israel today. In fact, it was seldom carried out because it was a very difficult thing to apply. Right? So you need to know this as a historical for historical reasons. But how was it applied? It was difficult. Right? A brother, a son, daughter, wife, friend, anybody. Right? I mean, if you... Sometimes we talk about wrong beliefs. As student pastors, if you came with up the wrong beliefs, wrong practices, you all would have been put to death long time ago. You would not have survived. And I think all of us have gone through that stage when I think, wow, I didn't realize how wrong I was. Until you begin to say, wow, they're going to scratch their head. What happened here? Then you cannot say, don't care, father, son, or anybody, put to death. No, nobody will be alive today. So you want to watch out for the historical aspect. Okay? So that make sure that we don't go that way. All right. The challenge is to put away evil from your midst. Right? So, and go and serve other gods. And this, of course, didn't take place. Okay? And so the law was to be enforced. Okay? Very, very important. You shall not consent to him, verse 8. I should not pity him, cannot spare him, cannot conceal him. This is typical judicial law, right? Every time you see law, they will, every aspect they will cover, just in case that aspect is not covered, loophole. So this one got no loophole. How about concealing? Cannot. Well, that is how that works out, and it's so important. So when you read about things like that, especially in medieval history, it's scary. Right? So anyone. So if you run afoul, even if you're not old and ugly, if you are young, and then once somebody wants to marry you, and you say no, you die. Unfortunately, there were concoct stories. This one was seen in the forest, talking to something dark, black. Finish. All you need is a conjure. Don't want three witnesses. Yes, I saw. This person was dancing with some people without clothes in the forest. But I wasn't there. Now you were there. And then they will come up with charges, and then they convene a tribunal that the person dies. Unfortunately. And this is really, really unfortunate, because the early church in America was very, very badly tainted with this. So now the word witch hunt is used freely. Anybody, Trump witch hunt. All the time is used every way. But the history of it all is actually from a little church called Salem. And many people died. And when people examine those things in proper perspective, they begin to realize all those things were not true. Right? So you want to be very careful of people who go witch hunting. Never join it. Right? So the story, of course, the idea of the cartoon, is it Belle and the bear, you know, the bear of a man who then transform in Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, same. Must kill the beast. Same story. All the time, you have all this wicked witch and things like that. Those were the days. So when you look at Hans Christian Andersen, some of the stories of Aesop and all, actually some of them are very dark. Really, really dark stories. So you read the original, not the modified ones. They are really horrible. Most of the things you don't want to see, because it spoils all that you ever read, you see. But better to keep those good memories than to see all those old stories and then retold in such a way, what's this? Don't recognize it. No point seeing them. But this is how it is. But most of those tales are not so nice. They are all sanitized. But some of them are really, Grimm's tales are the worst. They're really grim. So you've ever read Grimm's tales, they read and say, wait a minute, don't get children. Because they get nightmares, you know, that you can see these things here. So there are many, many such stories. So you want to be careful. There are stories to today, Christian stories, but, you know, this one is called Piercing the Dark. And they use stories of evil spirits, how they attack us. And just be very careful. Don't get carried away. Okay, so they will talk about how evil spirits will attack you, and they will use invisible swords to pierce your car engine and to kill your computer and so and so forth. So, right? After all, you read it, they're not going to touch anything. So be careful. Don't get carried away with these things. But, you know, they don't care as long as it sells. There are certain things you really don't want to buy. They're really not. It plays on their mind quite a bit. Right, so be careful of these things here. All right, so if you hear of someone in your cities with the Lord, and then corrupt men have gone out there, let's go and serve other gods. Well, this is serious. Okay, and such an abomination was committed among you, you shall surely strike the inhabitants of that city, destroying it. Now, this is like an act of war. Remember, this is judicial. This is the country. This is a national thing, right? It was never meant to be applied to the church. So you want to be very, very careful on some of these things here, okay? So this is something that you need to know, right? So none of your accursed things shall remain in your hand, okay? And this is important that we understand. So there are two aspects, the spiritual and the judicial. Keep the judicial in mind. It is a national thing. It is an Israel thing. It is in the days of Moses. Very frankly, in the Judges, this is not applied. In the Kings, Saul banned all the witches, right? And then he went and consulted one. So there were some. David says, I would never have anything to do with them. Basically, that was all there was to it. Right? So this is something that you need to bear in mind. Now, how do we apply this in the context in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you can warn about them. Right? But you cannot apply Deuteronomy 13. Jesus never applied Deuteronomy 13. Now you have to bear this in mind. So this is really a historical note, right? But once they went into the land, did not conquer the land, the order to kill and exterminate is gone. You cannot apply this anymore. The Lord asked me to kill all the men. No. See, once, in other words, there is all, you may think of it like an expiry date, right? So if one generation is done, once you have made them your slaves, you cannot kill them anymore. These are the engagements, rules of war. There were strict rules of war that they had to obey. We will read about them later on in Deuteronomy. Right? So these are important things for us to consider. Right? So did the people apply these things at any time? Frankly, provision was made for it. But you can't. Let's say, for example, if your brother, your sister, you have to discharge yourself. You cannot adjudicate simply because there is a relative there. So it's very, very hard because everybody's related just about. Did anybody? No, nobody actually did it. Right? I mean, insofar as the history of Israel is concerned, this did not ever get to be applied at any time. Right? I mean, seriously, as you look at it very, very carefully, you begin to realize that some of those things are just good to note, historical notes, but in application, does it apply to the church? Answer, no. Can the church appeal to this? No. Can you appeal to it? Never. Okay, just to let you know. So you, just because you disagree, and then can I quote Deuteronomy 13 against somebody? Try not to. Okay, so it will not apply at all. We're not supposed to. Well, that one really, really cannot. I had an interesting call from a pastor from a Presbyterian church. Today he called up. He said, can you speak at our leadership conference? November. I said, November cannot. Any other month can. So I try not to go to other churches if possible. But I happen to know him, so he wants to grow the church further. He wants to, just to develop the church a little bit more. So he says, can you come and help me? Because, you know, it will, you know, I don't know what the church is, but if not, can I come and consult you? I'm very, very scared of involvement because once you start, you know, it's very, very hard. He says, our church wants to reach out the community. How would you do it? How to equip it? I know some of the leaders in the Presbyterian church. It's very, very hard to get through to do anything. So he says, I don't know how he got a hold of a number, but so he called up and then he asked whether I can help him. So I said no first time. Let's hope it's not going to be a second time. But you cannot apply. You all are dead churches. You all cannot. You cannot go around and telling people things like, you can't. But they all really need help. Because the Presbyterian Church is basically more and more a social more social concerns, and you know, their commitment to the Presbyterian Welfare Fund is about $2 million a year, you know. So it's quite significant, you know. So they organize, and they got a press. Of course, they got a Presbyterian schools, and they have got a lot of Presbyterian Welfare Association. The Presbyterian Welfare Services is really, really quite large in Singapore today. You know, so, well, this is something you will. So I try not to get involved in other things here because it can be quite jarring at times because they see weaknesses, you know, you point them out, and then you see the difficulty of this. So even though you want to help, there are difficulties. Maybe I will help him, he can help them. But he needs an older person. Usually, I'm the one, older person. Yeah, but he said it, I didn't, you know. And so if I can help, they can scold me behind my back, I don't know. But easier to get somebody to point out the weaknesses than for the person, local pastor, to point out the weaknesses. So I said, thank you. No, thank you. What did I do to you? Now, okay, we look at this whole idea. These things would not apply, right? Even in Isaiah, right? Let's look up the book of Isaiah. And just to give you a little bit of a glimpse of the, how Isaiah look at them. I mean, he can rebuke them. He can tell them where is wrong and so on and so forth. I mean, this is something that he had to address, obviously. Right? And this is something that he would have warned them. The Lord is angry. The Lord is upset. His anger is not turned away. That's it. I hope you understand. Let's turn to the book of in chapter 2, for example. Okay? And you can look at chapter 2 and you see all the laments there. Verse 8, land full of idols. Worship the work of their own hands. People bow down. Right? If you were to apply Deuteronomy 13, whole of Israel will be no more. Right? Because they were doing exactly what Moses warned them not to do. Right? So I hope you understand it. So he can only speak about it at the end of the day. But the word was, sever yourself from such a man. 2 verse 22. That's it. In other words, cut off. But you can't go and apply Deuteronomy 13, not even in Isaiah's time. This is absolutely important, right? So this is something that we want to look at, and there's nothing you can do at all. Chapter 8, right? Chapter 8, this is where, when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, right? If you were to apply Deuteronomy 13, it's over already. People will die. But even Isaiah could not apply Deuteronomy 13. I hope you understand this. So this is something that you need to understand. So Deuteronomy could not be applied at this stage. So some of the judicial powers and laws actually literally almost became obsolete. You can't apply it. How do you go in? Okay, let's kill the king. All the kings of Israel, 19 of them, would have died. If you were to apply Deuteronomy 13, you and whose army? You will stage, you will end up with a war. Right? So if you go in here, this city, that city, every city in Israel had their own idols. So Deuteronomy 13, if they understood it spiritually, they could have. But since it was not, it literally became an obsolete law. So by the time it came to Isaiah and all the prophets, the only person who actually tried to do it, dared to do it, was Elijah. The God who answers by fire. And then he slew The prophetesses and the prophets, wow, that is very, very, very drastic. Right? That's it. I mean, hardly anybody else actually could apply this thing. Basically, Samuel slew King Agag. That's it. But if you were to apply this right across the land, Israel would be killing itself completely. So this law could not be used. It became almost abrogated. It became obsolete. So we can only warn about it. You see the problem of the law? So some of those laws in Deuteronomy were there. Well, of course, in the New Covenant, a lot of the old laws were obsolete. Right? So, you know, really, really, just to bear this in mind. So did they apply some of these things here? No. Right? So Elijah's killing of the prophets and all that was a really, really difficult thing for him to do. Right? What, you think they just stood down there and then let themselves be killed? No, it's going to be a battle, obviously. So it was difficult, to say the least. Well, those people died. Guess what? Jezebel just raised up another 400 prophets. No problem. Right? You can't keep on killing prophets or so-called prophets. There will be war, bloodshed all the time. And you don't want to be associated in that way too. Right? So you just got to bear in mind Deuteronomy 13 that some of those laws were good laws. You can only draw the spiritual aspect out. But you cannot apply fully some of those things. And Deuteronomy 13 is one of those laws that cannot be applied then and now. Obviously, now cannot. Right? And any questions you want to ask this matter here? I just hope that you will understand. So try not to apply. Do not say this is my favorite chapter. Okay? Because you really, really cannot apply. We're not supposed to do this. Now, what is the New Testament part? By the time we came to the New Testament, Israel, no more idols. So the captivity cured them. They were seeing idols left, right, center, every day, every street corner, there is something to see. Until they fed up of it, and it's a complete cutoff. That was the only thing that cured the land. Captivity. And they were not going to go back to it again. Right? And Israel, till today, this idolatry thing doesn't work for them. Then, from 586, 70 years down, counting, literally, 6th century, 5th century, idols were a past thing. So that problem was resolved. All the more, Deuteronomy 13 wouldn't apply. All right? So historically, it made itself, it became obsolete by itself. Right? They couldn't apply it, and it was gone. How would you know? How would you test? Well, that's the only way. So that this particular law is now no more. Just to emphasize this. Okay? So in the book, in the New Testament, what is the way? Well, every one of the apostles took a very strong stance against these false teachers. Right? We can only expose them. Unfortunately, you have to expose them. Right? So this is how you look at it very, very carefully. So you see this in Paul's writings, right? And so in Galatians chapter 1, for example, now seldom is this used, but this is apostolic authority. Paul used it. Okay, you're not an apostle. Try not to say it too often at all. Take a look at this. Okay, verse 7. There are some who trouble you and they want to pervert the gospel of Christ. right? So this is something that you need to look at very carefully. Now, how is it? Now, just very quickly, where we look at these things here. So he said, we, angel from heaven, preach any other gospel. That person is anathema, accursed. But notice, Deuteronomy 13 could not be applied. You can place a warning sign. This is, you are going to end up cursed by God. That's it. But you cannot apply Deuteronomy 13. So one of those chapters that you cannot apply today. Right? So this is important that you want to take note of. Okay? Deuteronomy 13 not applied. Now let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 11. Okay? Which you will read about a little bit later. About 3 weeks' time thereabouts. Okay? Watch this. Watch this very carefully. And where Paul talks about this. 2, 4, and 5. 2 Corinthians 11, 4. Right? And so we have a different Jesus. Right? We have a different spirit. Then we have a different gospel. And so Paul remonstrated with them. Why do you put up with him? Now, Galatians would be there in application. But even then, Paul toned down quite a bit from here to Galatians. So it's Galatians is one of the first epistles he wrote, right? So this is a very, very strong word, okay? So to a different gospel. So 6 all the way to 9, right? So Galatians 6, 1, 6 to 9. So there was a tempering, right? He had to rebuke the Corinthian church for tolerating people who will come and speak a different Jesus, a different gospel, a different spirit. Right? Now, over here, you've got to watch very, very, very carefully what it's all about. Right? So, can you go and, how can you preach a different? So we can't. So some people ask me, can't we do something about people who translate the Bible wrongly? Can't we do something about people who preach Jesus wrongly? Can't we do something about people who preach about the Holy Spirit wrongly? Can't. You see? So you cannot apply Deuteronomy 13. You know, because the world is going to be very much smaller. Unfortunately, there will be more lions on the street than there are people. So you can't apply. So some of those things you can only note with sadness. This is going down. This is going down. This is, what can you do? So this is a kind of unfortunate, kind of a sad reality. But it is a reality that we all need to learn how to cope with. Right? So this is something that we watch for. Right? So now we take a look at 2 Peter. And you see, Peter can only warn. He can speak strongly against them. That's about it. But you cannot apply to Deuteronomy 13. Okay? So these not apply. Cannot. Okay? Chapter 2, verse 12. These are natural brute beasts. You can call them beasts if you want, right? They are made to be caught and destroyed. They speak evil of the things they do not understand. They will perish in their own corruption. You can warn against them, right? But you cannot put anybody to death. You cannot apply Deuteronomy 13. Not even Peter. Right? This is something that, of course, there was a man called Elymas, and Paul struck him blind for a season. That's about as close as you can get. But striking blind for a season is not the same as putting somebody to death. Right? But this is an interesting, in the Apocrypha of Thomas, the Gospel of Thomas. There he was involved in preaching of the gospel. And there were people who opposed. That's why glad we are not part of our gospel. So Thomas had to teach him a lesson. May the earth swallow you up. And the earth caught his ankles. He couldn't move. That fellow was a very powerful witch, a wizard. May you have the same thing. And the earth grabbed him up to the leg's knees. Wow, Thomas got angry. May the earth swallow you up to your stomach. And the person also said the same thing. So finally, Thomas said, may you be buried up to your throat, hand, so your neck, so the hand cannot move. And then he gave up. Now, that is Gospel of Thomas. Don't read those things. You see, these are the kind of things that they actually portray. These are apocryphal works and so on and so forth, right? So in India, they say Thomas went down there. There was a huge log jam. Real log jam. You know what log jam is? They float logs from one village to the next village. If there's a jam, finish. You cannot get in now. So they came to him. He says, log jam, how? No problem. And the log freed itself. Well, that is the story of Thomas. And in India, that is believed. No, you don't go and say you don't believe down there because they can get very violent. They have a whole hill devoted to St. Thomas. I mean, they're very, 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 look, no, so they are very, very strict as to who may go up there and all. So any boys and girls misbehave themselves, they were in serious trouble. To them, it's very sacred hill. See, so the story behind St. Thomas is something that the Indians will defend. At least they have an apostle, but historically, a bit dicey. But there we go. So there are all kinds of stories that are there. They even have a relic of a finger of his that buried in the tomb there. This is the finger of Thomas. I don't know what it was, what was the rest of the body, but there it was. So there are lots and lots of these things, the stories are told. You cannot go down there and use Deuteronomy 13. You really cannot. Right? So some of these churches in India, Roman Catholic churches, you don't know whether it's an Indian temple or is a group. No much difference. I mean, really not much difference. So you cannot go down there and you go and criticize. You can't. Right? So these are things that we need to know. So Peter, Paul, John, they all wrote strenuously against these false teachers, false prophets, and so on and so forth. But Deuteronomy 13 was never applied, at least in the judicial sense of the word. Right? So you just want to bear in mind that there is a spiritual part of it which you want to take note of, right? You can warn against, you can take a strong stance against them, but you do not have judicial rights. You cannot covert operation and black ops, put people, you cannot do that. Okay, there is no way you can quote the scriptures to support such things. Right? So this is one of those chapters you've got to bear in mind very, very carefully. That's why I didn't want to go into so many details, because no use because they are all obsolete. Explain detail also no use because you cannot apply them. You just need to note that this is one of the ways in which God wanted to protect his people. Right? But since they didn't keep this law, the whole land became proliferated. It was every green tree, every high hill, all everywhere you name it. It's really, really tough for obvious reasons. Right? So there is unfortunately something that you cannot get away from today. Okay? So that law, it was given good intention, good purpose, good goals, good aims, not understood, not applied, becomes, after a while, obsolete by itself. If only they had kept to this law, spiritually, the test, they loved the Lord, they would not have done it. Right? But you have to, once you have to use the law to enforce it, the chances of it going wrong becomes very high. Obviously. Right? So you can use the law, once you use spiritual laws to apply to judicial situations, it almost always goes wrong. Even if you want it for good. Right? So Constantine the Great, he realized that all the emperors who fought against Christians all died bad deaths. So he looked at 10 of them. Well, all died horribly. Assassinated, diseased. He decided, I think better not. So he swung to the other side. He said, I am now going to be a Christian. 4th century. The problem is, he was also head of the non-Christian religious group. He was, by being emperor, they made him head. So he was head of two, the church as well as the other side. Most inconsistent. His idea of baptism was, if you baptize and you sin after baptism, it's unforgivable. So he didn't dare to get baptized until he was dying. And what could you do? But when he opened up, Rome was now not persecuting Christians. Suddenly, much of the Roman Empire became Christian. So you see, much of Europe today became Christians. At least traditionally, historically, they are Christians in name. But did they really have personal faith? No, that's not important. What is important is better follow the emperor. You want to be promoted or you don't want to be promoted? All those who declare that they are baptized Christians, they all got promoted. So a lot of people became Christians for different reasons outside faith. Do you want to be born again? No, it's not important. I am going to be a Christian. I am going to contribute to the church. I will build, you're doing so much for the church. Good for you. Promoted. I give you this county. I give you this. I give you that. Now, you'll be surprised that some of the cities, like Denver, Colorado, actually a name after a man called Denver, he was hoping that he will have the county named after him. Then there was a change of law. That county went to the other state, so he lost it. But they kept the name. You'd be surprised. Some of those things here were actually named after people for all the wrong reasons. And you think about these things here. I mean, you read some of these things and you get a little bit, you really scratch your head. You see, but it was rampant practice. All the time, they just have rampant practice for whatever. Right? Same, if you if you want to have a medical building named after you, just donate 10, 20 million, it will be named after you. That is standard price. Right? You want to have a name after you? Sure, you just name it after you. Yeah, you donate this, they will be happy to have the building named after you. So there we go, Khoo Teck Puat Hospital, of course. Name after him, he just just about finance the whole thing. Of course, the government helped too. Yeah, that's what it is, you see. So these are things that you really, really need to look at very, very carefully. Say, Jewing home, same. Okay? The man just donated the land. That's it. And the government took 90%, paid everything. They still pay everything. Except any religious thing, they won't. But that was it. So it was there. So this is some of those things that are a bit funny as we look at it. But that's historical as we see them. Right? So when we look at Deuteronomy 13, how do we apply this? Only in the spiritual values. You know the dangers. You know this is the test. You know God is displeased. You know God is going to get angry with this. You know you get into serious trouble. All you can do is warn. Can I apply a judicial law? Can I ask for a death penalty? Can't. There are very few countries, by the way, today, which have death penalty. Very, very. Singapore is one of them. And only very rare occasions that you have this. China still does. The world's highest execution. And then they always tell the people, do a good deed before you die. Give your kidneys away. They harvest the kidneys or the liver, whatever. And then the donor from Singapore donates 50,000 to the family. So they will tell him, at least you don't die in vain. Otherwise you die. So they give them good food for a few months. Now they're healthy. Before they get executed, the Singapore person is there already. Match the thing here. Cut off the kidneys. Do the thing here. And the person dies anyway. That's the real story. In India, this was a big problem. Where we stay at the hotel there. It used to be a place where people sold organs. So sometimes you see the person come and say, he looks very, very pale, very weak. What happened? Oh, I donated kidney. That's a nice way of saying. And didn't cost very much. Only 3,000-4,000. This is not right. In China is 50,000. This one is only a few thousand. And so that until the government put a stop to that, because you cannot do organs for sale. But you can donate. Right? You can match. Just don't sell it. What's the difference? Right? So there are people who are willing to do anything to you know, have a new kidney or a liver, a part of it. Lots of organ stuff. Okay? So these are things. Of course, China claimed that they have done a head transplant. I've yet to see that person. Yeah, but that would be said. Everybody is trying to do funny things today. Well, they are looking at the danger of one of these days coming out with dolly type. The danger is the technology is actually there to come up with a dolly version. This is actually written off in a book called Dunes. A whole series, Dunes series. They were doing this for the longest time. Well, that's what we're looking at. Okay, so there are certain laws of the Old Testament which you want to read with understanding, with regard, respect, but cannot apply. Deuteronomy 13 is one of those chapters. You can only extract the significance, the value, the wisdom, the understanding, and everything else. But the judicial aspect cannot be applied by the church, by anyone at any time. Okay? So this is something you want to bear in mind. All right, any questions you want to ask? But don't every time you read something you don't like, you cannot, oh, this is obsolete. You cannot do that, okay? Some of those things are for obvious reasons, especially the judicial aspect. All right, so anything to do with law enforcement, just remember, that one really has to do with the land, history, the nation. So these are the laws, but they're not for us. Okay? So you just got to bear this in mind. All right, we were not going to be able to have Bible study for a little while, going to recess for a while, so then we'll come back and read the book of Deuteronomy again. Hopefully you will take time to review some of those things here. No need to review 13 too much, but the other chapters are quite important. See, even Deuteronomy 12, also a limited value, right? Because it's Jerusalem. The Jerusalem of Deuteronomy 12 in Isaiah 2 is a new Jerusalem. It's a different place. It's the concept is there, but that's it. No physical place. Right? So this is something that we need to read. So everybody is really worried about the Jerusalem, whether it's a new capital, is Jesus coming back soon after this? Don't worry about this. So be careful of these things. Don't anyhow apply these things. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for wisdom to understand, to see which parts are applicable and which are not. We pray that you will encourage our hearts and ask you to bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you take care, and we'll see you back when we see you back.